And happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter Nick Kieser behind the glass. Hope it's a fantastic start to your day so far. The Super Bowl is Sunday. Looking forward to that. We're going to talk a lot about that today, including prop bets, the fun prop bets, and also I have on my Twitter account at Chase on Game, what's your go-to Super Bowl snack? So weigh in on that, because that is
love that.
That is always important. Michelle, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well. Happy Friday, everybody. It is a little bittersweet, though, because this is our last weekend of football for 7 months.
Well, that's all right.
Which is sad. But college basketball is around the corner.
I know.
And here.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's here.
But football is king.
It's here. I mean, we had a pretty good college basketball game the other night.
We did.
Was entertaining. But, yeah, I am... I'm excited about the game this weekend. We will do our official picks coming up at the end of the show. We will make it official. I know you have kind of already pretty much made yours.
I never understand why people are like, I'm going to keep mine a secret until
it's called anticipation.
The day before. I know, but
you got to keep the people hanging on. Like they, you know,
yeah,
give them a reason.
People, do you care that much?
They care about us. I think we're awesome.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope they do. People, do you care about us? We want to know. 615-737-1025. But yeah, let's get things going with the NFL honors. They were last night, and you know, most of these didn't surprise me. I want to start with this. They also unveiled the 2023 Hall of Fame class, which is like a hell of a defense. If you're gonna actually put a defense together. That's what I feel like this Hall of Fame class is. Rondé Barber gets in, Jarrell Revis, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, and then Don Coryell finally gets in as a coach and contributor, which is awesome. Chuck Howley, Joe Klecko, and Ken Riley, the senior nominees that will go in. So pretty cool because I think this is a good class. Now I'm going to say this, and you will hit this at some point in time. Maybe you're already starting to hit this. The Rondé Barber, Jarrell Revis, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, and DeMarcus Ware. I remember them playing like recently, and now they're already in the Hall of Fame and retired. So I'm officially starting to feel old.
Yeah,
My dad used to say that would happen, and now it's happening.
Well, it's weird because Ryan and I were sitting on the couch last night, and he was like, "What? Wait, already?" And I'm like, "If you think about it, the 5 years. I mean, 5 years ago was 2018. That was not long ago, right? And back half of their career, it does come full circle. I feel like I'm at the stage where I feel like talking about college athletes, like I'm so old,
right?
Or like interviewing college athletes." I feel so old because I used to be their age when I would do it in school. And then I feel like the NFL, like a lot of their ages are.
Yeah, but see, for you, you're at the point where it's like you're the same age as these people going into the league. And so it's like, okay, yeah. And then you're going to notice that it's like, wait a minute, I'm getting older and the people going into the league are staying the same age. And
yep.
That's just kind of what it is. Like, I am now at retirement age for the NFL.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Like, when I first started here, I was like you. And it was like, oh, yeah, I'm the same age as these athletes that I'm talking to. Now I'm retiring.
You're like, now they're gone and I'm still here and they're still younger.
Yeah, it's like,
No, okay. But I thought the NFL honors, I did want to say quickly on it. Watching it last night, I thought one of the best things they did was they brought out the medical staff from the Bengals the Bills and the University of Cincinnati, doctors and nurses who all helped DeMar Hamlin, and he had a nice speech. So I thought that was a really nice moment where they took a minute to
just... He stole the show.
Yeah.
I mean, when he came running out and like everybody went
I mean,
crazy.
You think about it. He's standing there and he's like, these people behind me literally saved my life, which is just a bizarre concept. But I'm sitting on my couch and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, the honors. All of a sudden, the tears. I'm like, oh my gosh, that pulled at some heartstrings. I wasn't prepared for that.
So it was a cool show. The MVP, of course, goes to Patrick Mahomes.
No surprise there.
Offensive player of the year, Justin Jefferson. I can get with that.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa. Okay. I can get with that. Coach of the year, Brian Daboll from the Giants. Absolutely. Thought he had it all year long. Offensive rookie of the year goes to Garrett Wilson of the Jets. And the Jets also get defensive rookie of the year with Sauce Gardner.
Yep.
I will get to one of these in just a second. Walter Payton Man of the Year goes to Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. Now, the comeback player of the year, Geno Smith. What the hell is he coming back from?
See,
I knew this was going to happen. I knew they were probably going to give this to him. And look, I like Geno. I'm not picking on Geno.
Did you think it should have been Saquon?
Yeah, I think Saquon could have certainly made a case for it.
It was Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Geno, and I'm forgetting who the fourth one was as finalists for that award.
Yeah, I mean, what is he coming back from?
I see what you're saying, and I think Field Yates tweeted this out and said that they should have a comeback player of the year and they should have a most improved player. Because I feel like Geno falls more in that most improved player, right? He never was able to secure a starting job. He was really a bridge quarterback and bounced around from a lot of teams. Had been in Seattle for a bit.
Yeah, it was just the three finalists. So it was him, McCaffrey, and Saquon. Okay. I think Saquon should have won it.
So, yeah, when you're looking at one season to the next, I agree. I think it should have been Saquon. I guess the way they're looking at it, I'm just trying to interpret why he won, because he was so irrelevant. Think about it. Mm-hmm. He was so irrelevant when talking about quarterbacks, and he took his team to the playoffs with a Seahawks team where everybody thought, oh, yep, they're tanking. They're going to try to get a high draft pick, and he got them all the way he made it to the playoffs. So I guess in that, if you look at it that way, but I know what you mean. I agree. I think it should be two categories. I think comeback of the player of the year. I think Saquon should have won that. And then I think if you were to do like a most improved Geno.
Yeah, I mean, look, Geno's a great story. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. That's an awesome story.
He wasn't even there either.
Yeah, I mean, here's a team that, you know, Russell Wilson, who is just looking more and more like a not good person. But Russell leaves. And then they go to Geno, and everybody thinks the Seahawks are going to suck. And then Geno turns out to be a pretty good quarterback. Now, you know, is it a one-year thing? We'll find out. But he didn't come back from anything. He'd been on teams. He'd just been a backup quarterback. So I don't get that. But I knew they were going to do it because it's like, okay, it's a story, and people will talk about it, and it's controversial. But –
coming back from not being good?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, that's what he came back from. He was a backup that didn't play, and he wasn't any good. That's what he came back from. But John on our text line, driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com, says it should have been CMC or Christian McCaffrey or Saquon, but not Geno. I agree. I think Saquon. I would have said Saquon should have won it. I mean, McCaffrey, I get why McCaffrey's a finalist, but I think Saquon was a bigger leap from – you know, the injuries that he's battled, you know, really the last couple of years.
Yeah, and Saquon was, you know, the Giants' number one threat. Whereas, you know, when McCaffrey went to the Niners, they had a lot of different options. You know, it was McCaffrey, it was Debo, but I just see as far as the comeback player of the year and playing more of a role, more of an impact on, you know, winning would be Saquon with the Giants. I agree. I thought it was going to be Saquon, but or maybe I thought it should have been Saquon, but I figured, you know, when you look at storyline, Geno would be the winner, which I get it, right? It's the hardest position to play, and he was able to take the Seahawks to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But when you're saying, you know, comeback player of the year rather than, you know, most improved or something like that, biggest jump, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a huge jump. And like I said, it's a great story, but it's not comeback player of the year.
Nope.
And I feel like most people agree with us on it, you know, that it's that it should have been Saquon or Christian McCaffrey. And I if it had been one of those two, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I had this debate with Ryan Porth, and well, it wasn't a debate because we both agreed. But when I was in Chicago, but this was, you know, this was months ago when it was like, they're going to give Geno comeback player of the year. And he even said, just like I did, like, what's he coming back from?
Yeah, Ryan Porth's tweet was the first one I saw. It was exactly what you said. He tweeted and said, what is he coming back from? And that's, you know, what you said when we started the, Geno Smith ? What exactly is he coming back from? Somebody commented on his tweet and said, you don't have to come back from injury to qualify. You just have to be a better performing season than the previous season or season. Most of the categories for him was a career high during this season, exception of a few categories. Did you expect him to have a season like this? I get that. I mean, come back from what you did last year, but I guess in the past, we've always seen what they've classified as a comeback player of the year as a guy who had an injury and then the next year just blows people out of the water.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to look something up because somebody has texted me and has made an interesting point that I want. Okay. So 2019, Tannehill wins it, right? And on that's, my text
that's fair,
line,
that's
it's
true.
Like, did you have a problem when Tannehill won it? That's a little bit different. Tannehill was a starter. Tannehill was a starter in Miami. And yes, he comes to the Titans and then he takes over for Mariota, but he had also battled some injuries. I look at that a little bit different.
I don't. Are you kidding? It's like the same
when
situation.
No, it's not. When was Geno a starter?
I don't think it matters. It doesn't matter if you're a starter.
It can be.
It's comeback player of the year. It's performance from what did you do last year and then what can you improve? If Tannehill won it, I mean, I forgot about that one.
Right, but Geno's never done anything. That's my point.
Okay.
Tannehill had done something as a starter in his career.
But nobody ever expected Geno to do this. That's why. I mean,
So now you're reversing.
Well, I still think this year Saquon should have won it. Like, I still think Saquon should have been the winner of this award this year. But I mean, when you compare it to the Ryan Tannehill situation, I view them both the same. You know,
it's
I don't think Ryan Tannehill,
thing.
You know.
I don't think it's the same thing.
Who were the finalists the year Ryan Tannehill won it? We'll probably have to look it up in a second.
I would have to look that up.
We need to continue this discussion.
Well,
we can ask Sean Henry.
Yeah, we will ask Sean Henry. We can do that. Coming up next, Sean Henry will join us for his weekly visit. You can also weigh in on the text line on this, 615-737-1025. Do you agree with Geno Smith being the comeback player of the year? We will get back into this because there's controversy amongst us. We will do that in just a bit here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, join 1025, 1063, The Game this Saturday at 3rd and Home, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown. For Preds Watch Party, as they'll take on the Philadelphia Flyers at 11:30. You can come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezbeck with you. We say hello to the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry. He is on the line with us. Sean, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. A little congratulations in order for you guys over there, top 20 radio station or radio shows, huh? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah, Barrett Sports Media putting that out. Appreciate that. Thanks as always. I want to start with something that I know is near and dear to you. It has to do with your New York Giants. But this is a
I thought you were going to talk about one of my kids. I mean, the Giants lost. Why are you bringing that up to me?
Well, I'm going somewhere with this. Cowboys
just
lost
stay,
too,
stay
so
with
it's
us.
It's fine. So we just had a debate. Geno Smith wins comeback player of the year, and I have a problem with that because what is he coming back from? He just hasn't played. It was a great story. I'm not taking anything away from it, but Saquon Barkley should have won comeback player of the year in my opinion because he's coming back from injury. He's battled injuries, you know, a lot of his career, has a tremendous season with the Giants. What are your thoughts on that?
To be honest with you, I didn't even know anyone won that. I mean, I think if you don't talk about Barkley and even, you know, Henry had great numbers last year, but, you know, he missed all those games. I think both those guys should have been 1-2, and I'd take either order. You could argue for Danny Dimes, not that he came back from anything except a bad season. But I don't know. I don't begrudge anyone an award, though. I hate when people get mad at other people's joy. So I'm happy for Smith wherever he plays.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I know he used to play for a team I hated, though. So
he did.
Maybe that's where he's coming back. He's coming back from, like, football purgatory, maybe. That's why he won.
There you go.
It's always good when you can, you know, dig on a team wearing green, right?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Wednesday night was a lot of fun. Nash Vegas, the first one that you all have been able to have in 3 years due to COVID and everything. You raised $150,000 for the Preds Foundation. I've said this to you. I've said this to everybody. This is my favorite event that you all put on. You put on a lot of great events for the Preds Foundation. But I really loved the feel this year. You could go, you know, sit and play blackjack with some of the players and executives and just kind of mix and mingle. It was very low key, but an awesome event.
You know, it really was. And I think the reason people have so much fun at it is everyone is relaxed. Everyone kind of takes their kind of game face off or their business face off. And everyone just gets together and has fun. And, you know, seeing Michelle walking around, you walking around, you know, all of our radio personalities, our players. It's just, it's a cool vibe. You know, I left for about an hour, went down to the Father Ryan game to watch my son coach. We won, by the way. And nice. Then came back
Congrats.
To it. And yeah, no, it was a fun win. But it's cool being there when people walk in. It was actually even more fun walking back into the middle of the event and really seeing everyone just, you know, spilling around, having fun, you know, visiting different food stations, bidding things up, but just laughing at tables together. It's a great event. So thank you both for being there, and always 102.5 for bringing life to it.
Yes, we had a lot of fun at the event. We got Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Preds, on with us. Sean, coming up on Monday, PK Subban night is going to be here in Nashville. You guys are going to honor him. He's meant so much to this Predators organization, you know, even when he left the team. What can you say about, you know, just the chatter about, you know, honoring him on Monday night, and just PK Subban as a whole and what he's meant to the Predators?
Well, as you were asking that question, I texted Jared Stillman to let him know we're going to lead into his appearance at 10 o'clock. Because if you have to talk about the virtues of PK Subban and what he meant to this team and the city, it's going to take a lot longer than this segment. So, I mean, it's hard to sum up what he did for us as an organization. You know, our best years on the ice were with him here. But I also think some of our best years off the ice were with the programs that he put together. And everything he did was bigger and better than any of us thought could happen. You know, his first Christmas here, he was doing a Christmas party for a bunch of kids. And all of a sudden, we see Dierks Bentley walk in the building. You know, he arranged for him to come and be a part of it. And then he comes rolling up on a horse-drawn carriage, you know, dressed in old English garb. I mean, the presents will be great for those kids. The time with he and Dierks will be great for the kids. But riding on a horse-drawn carriage that he was driving around the city of Nashville, that's something when they're 60 years old they'll talk about. So everything he did had that extra touch, that extra care. He was so thoughtful and purposeful in everything he did that I can't say enough good things about him on the ice and then off the ice. But, you know, his legacy, to me anyway, is the Blue Lines Buddy program that he built. And, you know, we don't have enough time to talk about it. But, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I forget when it was exactly. But, you know, there was a lot of anger in the country. A lot of people were talking about, you know, are players going to kneel at the anthem or not kneel? You know, why are people angry? What are they angry about? How are they going to show their displeasure? So we got together with our leadership team like we always do and just kind of talked about, you know, what's our team going to do? What if a player does this? What do? How do we support them? How do we encourage them in different ways? And I'll never forget in that meeting, you know, it was all of our captains and Pekka and David Poyle, myself, Lavi was in the room. PK just stopped. He said, well, let's talk about why people are angry. What is causing this disharmony in our community and across our country? And, you know, there was a divide, you know, or is a divide between our police department and a lot of neighborhoods. And he said, well, let's look at that. And how do we bring that together? How do we bridge that? Who cares how we're showing our anger or happiness or displeasure? Let's figure out why people are angry and solve that. I'm not kidding you guys. I get chills when I talk about it. I kind of pushed back in my seat and looked at him and thought, you know, I'm with a different type of a person. He didn't want to treat symptoms. He wanted to go right to the disease and cure it. And he said, look, let's face it. You watch a game with a stranger, you become friends with that stranger. You have a meal with a stranger, you become friends with that stranger. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when you spend 5 minutes talking to someone, you end up kind of liking them. And if you spend 3 or 4 hours with that person, you know, you start with meeting our team, you then have dinner in Patron Club, then you watch a game, then you go back down and meet our team. And you do that with police officers and kids that maybe you've never seen a hockey game before. Maybe they never sat with a police officer and saw the good side of people. Maybe the police officer never saw those kids as individuals as well. You can bring the community together. And, you know, that he started it. You know, we tried to get other teams to copy it in our city, around the country. I think some still will, or I hope they do. Because Monday night, we're going to have a reunion of those officers and those kids, and we're still doing the program. And he has touched hundreds and hundreds of lives where people are changing the way they think, how they connect with each other, And that's going to pay dividends for generations to come. I mean, he is he's more than a special man. He's an incredible person.
And like you said, PK Subban Knight will be coming up on Monday, just a couple days away. But Sean, about a month away, the SEC will be coming into town. SEC tournament was in Tampa last year. It's going to be back in Nashville this year and for a bunch of years to come. What does it mean to be able to have, you know, the entire SEC men's basketball tournament here? You had the women's also last year to come into Bridgestone and be able to put that event on here.
I'm so grateful to Greg Sankey. You know, he is he's by far and away the best commissioner in college sports, and right up there with one of my two favorite commissioners in all sports. And when he was the associate commissioner back in 2010, 2011, he and I have known each other a long, long time. And he asked us, you know, if we were going to bid on, you know, the next SEC tournament that was in cycle. And we sat down together, and then we spent 2 hours together and 5 hours. And we ended up spending the whole week together. And we laid out and actually nailed the next 12 SEC tournaments, 9 men and 3 women's. And in the middle of that run, which should have taken us through 2025, we sat back down together and said, you know what, why don't we just make this the permanent home of the men and find a permanent home for the women? And that's exactly what we did. So last year was the last year the men will leave Nashville. And I think the women's permanent home is in Greenville. Which is a great size building, a great city, much like our building in the middle of downtown. So you had two central hubs for, I think, the best basketball tournaments in sports that we all get to call home. So if it weren't for Greg's vision of what Nashville was going to be, what our building could be, what our team could be, our organization could be, we're not doing this. So I'm always grateful for his faith and trust in us. And we're going to enjoy SEC basketball till time ends. I mean, most certainly through the end of my career.
Sean Henry is with us, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Also, you know, I love following you on Instagram because you'll post pictures of things. There's no caption. You just get to kind of figure out exactly what it is. But you've been posting a lot from Clarksville in F&M Bank Arena, that new facility up there, the new Ford Ice Center. I think it's awesome, that partnership that you have with the city of Clarksville, with Austin Peay. Looks like that thing is ready to go here in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's ready to burst, but I'm laughing because my 15-year-old daughter gets so mad at me that I never post captions on Instagram. And she, you know, she cuts class for this show segment, you know, so she's probably outside of Father Ryan
Smart
right
girl.
Now, almost getting detention. Yeah, to hear you guys talk to her dad, but she's rolling her eyes right now. But yeah, Clarksville is amazing. I'm working with Montgomery County and the city of Clarksville, and of course, Austin Peay and their leadership with Dr. Lakari and Gerald Henderson, or Harrison, rather. Oh my gosh, you're going to kill me for that. It's been so, so wonderful. I mean, everything is yes, let's do it. The only time they hesitate in saying yes to us is when they challenge us in how to make something even better. And, F&M Bank Arena is going to do for Clarksville what Bridgestone Arena did for Nashville. It already has. You know, there's development going up around it. You know, you have probably 6 new restaurants within less than a quarter of a mile of the arena. You have a vacant hotel that just got bought and is going to be converted into a new flag and renovated and open. You have 2 new parking garages going up. It'll connect the campus to downtown, and it'll give Austin Peay men and women's programs a place to call home, a dedicated training center, their offices, and it'll change what's possible, you know, for the Govs. So if you haven't been up there in a while, get on up there. But yeah, we're going to start loading in some rehearsals in that building. We're going to kick the doors open on the ice rink and start doing some free programs. And then probably in a month or so, we're going to announce a few concerts. And before you know it, we'll be tipping off for the first time ever with those great programs.
That's going to be awesome. Very, very cool facility. And I look forward to checking it out for myself as well. All right, Sean, before we let you go, Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Do you have a pick?
You know what? We're preparing the menu now ever since the good teams lost. So now the focus is not on the game. I mean, I assume it'll be on my TV. Hopefully I'll have a couple winning squares. But for me, it's all about the food. And we're trying something new this year. We're going to do some smoked lamb.
Ooh.
Along with probably 20 other favorites. And we'll have some food contests with some neighbors and friends. It'll fill up our house. But I could care less about the game. I don't know about you guys.
There's no way you're rooting for the Eagles. I know
it.
You're rooting for the Chiefs.
Well, you know what? The Arrowhead Stadium was one of my accounts. The Chiefs were one of my accounts. Christian Okoye and I follow each other, by the way, on social media. I love Nigerian Nightmare. So of course I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I thought that was a foregone conclusion. But what I'd really like to see is just, you know, something that would make the Eagles fans cry a little bit. You know, so I hope, you know, Patrick Mahomes just continues to show how special he is. With that said, though, I'm a really, really big fan of a couple of players on the Eagles. It's hard for me to say that. But if you don't like Jalen Hurts and you don't like the way he's stepped forward every single year since he was at Alabama, he's something to see and he's fun. So as much as I say I don't really want to watch a game, of course I'll be drawn into it and sucked in and watching the commercials. We'll all critique the acts. But, yeah, no, I want the Chiefs to win in a shutout.
All right. There we go. That's his pick.
So, you know what the score is going to be, right?
Oh, I knew you were going to 38-9 or whatever you do.
38-9. Never happened in a Super Bowl yet, but it's going to happen this year if it's not a shutout.
Okay. All right. There we go. That's his official pick. Sean, thanks as always. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you. Let's get 2 points in Philadelphia, and then we'll see you Monday at Bridgestone Arena.
Thanks, Sean.
Chase, I know you want to go to commercial, but I don't care about commercials. You missed the biggest thing this weekend. Tomorrow morning at Bellevue Ford Ice Center, you and Pete Weber will be there.
That's right.
Hosting our EA Gaming Day that bleeds right on into our morning matinee, you know, our 11:30 game against Philadelphia. So get out to Bellevue. You'll see, I think it's what, 16 or 24 of our winners from the online contest. And you'll see them compete for the Smashville Championship belt. And then obviously see us take on Smashville. And there's no better way to watch a game than with two legends of radio, Pete Weber and Chase McCabe.
Awesome. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
I just want to keep talking. Yeah, I want to keep talking through your commercials to make Jared late. You can bump him, you know, to put other ones
in. I mean, I've already bumped him to 10:30, so it's fine. You just keep going.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great seeing you guys Wednesday night, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks
Sean. Appreciate it. Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us. He does that every Friday at 9:15. Coming up next, we have a lot of text to get to. I think it's kind of a mixed bag of where people are going with this, with comeback player of the year.
I've got some receipts, too, for next segment.
Yeah, you got some receipts. That's fine. We will get back into that next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. You can learn more at hairclub.com/chase. We'll have Preds tickets to give away here in just a little bit. Also, Jared Stillman going to check in from the Super Bowl at 10:30. Taking your calls and your texts, 615-737-1025. Comeback player of the year goes to Geno Smith last night, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. And I have an issue with this. I say that it was not comeback player of the year. I'm not, and people, I want to emphasize this. I think it's a tremendous story, the year that he had. But that's like a most improved or whatever. What is he coming back from? He was a backup quarterback. He was irrelevant in the league. And then I have people on my personal text line saying, well, Tannehill was the same thing. I do not think so. I think they are two different things. Ryan Tannehill was the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. He was hurt all the time. And ultimately, they decided to go in a different direction. He comes to the Titans. He is the backup quarterback. He takes over for Marcus Mariota, who sucked, and then wins it that way. That to me is different than doing nothing. Geno did nothing.
Okay, well, that's not fair to say. He was a backup quarterback. You can't say he did nothing because
he didn't play.
Okay, well, he was, you know, learned from Russell Wilson. Everybody thought that Pete Carroll was crazy for trading Russell Wilson. They thought that they were going to have a tank here. And seeing what Geno was able to do, the way I look at it, because you before were like, you're going back on it, but I still think Saquon should have won this year just because I think he had the most, like, drastic, you know, he's injuries. Saquon's the face of the Giants. The Giants always suck. At least the Seahawks, you know, have been a relevant team as of recent. But when you compare it to the Ryan Tannehill situation, right? Ryan Tannehill, yeah, he got traded to the Titans. Okay. I looked up what the NFL defines comeback player of the year. Refers to a number of awards in the NFL. A player who has shown perseverance in overcoming adversity in the form of not being in the NFL a previous year, a severe injury, or simply poor performance. If you look at the definition that they have, think about it. Geno Smith has been, I almost said Geno RM. Geno Smith has been in the NFL since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate comeback player of the year, right?
No. I'm not backing down on this.
Why is it different than Ryan Tannehill? Okay, so I looked at the other finalists.
Because Tannehill did stuff. Geno didn't do anything. What is he coming back from? He's coming back from nothing. He did nothing. He was on a team.
Okay, he still was on a team.
It literally says
the definition. You could have not even been on a team, so they technically would be doing nothing if they were on an XFL team and then they came back.
I mean, I would probably give him more credit if he came back from an XFL team.
But looking at the other players who won the year that Ryan Tannehill won, Jimmy Garoppolo, he was coming off an ACL at the end of 2017. So that was then the following season. Then Dalvin Cook, he was coming off an injury. And then also Darren Waller coming off an injury. So, you know, that aspect of it, Ryan Tannehill, he was coming off just a trade for Miami. He had suffered some injuries, but, you know, winning the starting job. Okay, well, they traded Russell Wilson, and then they're like, okay, Geno, you're up. You've never had this opportunity before, but you've persevered for the last 10 freaking years in the league, has found himself a roster spot for 10 years in comebacks.
All right, people are weighing in on this. I'm going to read from my personal text line two people that are on opposite sides. Rick says that, did you hate when Tannehill won comeback player of the year when he did? Because Tannehill Geno is the same thing. He just sent me the explanation that you just read on the air. He says, it's true. Comeback player of the year isn't just for injuries. Obviously, that's usually the player who wins it. So he disagrees with me. Randall William Porch II, also known as Ryan Porth, says he's not the comeback player of the year.
Colin Porth.
He was never good nor injured, so he's not coming back from a damn thing. Meanwhile, CMC did so after two injury-laden seasons and helped the Niners surge into the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. Tannehill is somewhat similar, but also didn't have a lot of legit contenders around him in the comeback player of the year voting. CMC was 1,000% a legit candidate and should have won the award. Geno was never relevant in the NFL. If there was a breakout player of the year award, he'd rightfully win that, or most improved like the NBA has. Comeback player of the year is different. I agree with Porth.
The definition I just read. The previous year suffered a severe injury, overcoming adversity, or poor performance. He's been on a roster, not performing well. He hasn't had a starting job, but he has been on a roster for the last 10 years and has finally persevered, played, and got to the playoffs. How is that not the same thing as Tannehill? Tannehill was sucking in Miami for, you know, I mean, he was an irrelevant starting quarterback when he was in Miami. People viewed him so badly, and still to this day view him how he was in Miami to some extent.
Yeah, but he was relevant. People talked about him. Geno was nothing. Geno was holding a clipboard.
No, okay, that's not fair, Chase. You can't say he's irrelevant. He literally was on an NFL roster.
He was on an NFL roster, but he didn't do anything. Like, I'm not, again.
Because Russell Wilson was the quarterback for most of the time in Seattle, and he was a solid backup option, and obviously
Pete Carroll. And he sucked when he was with the Jets.
Okay, so simply overcoming poor performance.
But that was like 7 years ago. He's just been a backup. He's been in irrelevancy, and they put him in to be the starter because they wanted to suck to get Bryce Young, and then it backfired.
I don't agree with that. They put him in to suck? Then why would they even?
I think they put him in because they didn't go out and draft somebody or try and get a legitimate starter, because I think they looked at it as, let's go through a rebuild, and then he turned out to be good.
I think Pete Carroll knew something we didn't, because we obviously saw how Russell Wilson looks in Denver.
Yeah, well, we probably did. You may be right. Okay, we are punting the power play. 615-737-1025. Do you agree with me or do you agree with Michelle on Geno Smith winning comeback player of the year? I want calls. We have a ton of texts to get to. 615-737-1025. The debate continues next on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Fourth quarter in a tie game. What does that say to his plays for you?
He's coming up. He's a real deal.
This is the real Brissett. There's no mystery or he's going to run out of gas or something. It's not like that. He knows exactly what he's doing, and it shows you week in and week out, throw after throw after throw. There's nothing for us to hold him in but in the highest of expectations. What a thrilling story for the kid, you know. And he just hung in there so tough and outlasted it, and now he's enjoying all the fun of it.
That's Pete Carroll talking about Geno Smith back here chasing Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 615-737-1025. You can call or text. Do you agree that Geno Smith should have won Comeback Player of the Year? I do not. Michelle originally did not. Now I think she's kind of switched.
Well, I'm making the argument. I think Saquon should have won it this year, but I'm making the argument for Geno since Ricky brought up the Ryan Tannehill situation. Because
Ricky started this. So Rick,
I feel like the way
you owe me a beer.
I don't think that Geno should, let's just be clear. I don't think Geno should have won it this year. I think it should have gone to Saquon Barkley. Geno, I think he had, you know, a great year. We all know the story. But I'm disagreeing with the fact that you don't think the Tannehill and the Geno Smith thing are more comparable. That's what I'm disagreeing with.
Okay.
Is that fair?
So
you said Caroline Fenton had an argument.
Caroline
that she texted
Fenton
you?
Has texted me and says, I'm with you. Geno played well this year, but didn't come back from anything. Why don't we just give it to Brock Purdy? He came back from being a third-string quarterback. I think that's a spot-on argument.
He wasn't in the league last year.
Right, but I mean, even though Geno was in the league, he was just on a team. He was just a backup.
He played 4 games last year.
Okay, but
Brock Purdy wasn't even on a team. That doesn't count.
But it's the same.
No, it's not.
I get that argument. I totally get that argument.
Geno has found himself on a roster every single year for the last 10
years. It's most improved. It's not comeback. It's most improved. There should be 2 awards. There should be a most improved and a comeback player of the year. Most improved, he wins it hands down. There's no argument. There's no argument. I give it to him. But comeback player of the year, Saquon and Christian McCaffrey, to me, came back for more than Geno Smith did.
Okay, so they're coming back from an injury, not played in any games last year. Geno Smith.
McCaffrey's been injured 2 years in a row. Okay, and well, so is Saquon,
but just
really.
Just the injury part. Okay, hadn't played in however many games, and then, you know, perseveres, have a great year. Okay, how many games has Geno not then played in, persevered, and had a great year?
Okay, so, all right. So to your argument, let's see. Give me a – by the way, there's a great text on the text line about Dennis Daly. You got to read.
It said, can Dennis Daly win stay back player of the decade? Is this productive for Friday?
That's good. A player that, you know, a third string linebacker that's on a roster, but he never plays. And then he ends up playing next year. Are you going to give him comeback player of the year?
But it's quarterback. Quarterback is different than every other position.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing.
No,
you're
it's
basically
not.
Saying that, I mean, I get it. It's the most important position on the team, but like you're basically awarding somebody that got the job by default and then had a good year.
No, because, I mean, if you look at the quarterback position compared to every other position on a football roster, the biggest drop-off is from your starting quarterback to your second quarterback. You know, it's a lot easier to be able to put a wide receiver 2 in as your wide receiver 1. The drop-off from a starting quarterback in the NFL to your backup is so much bigger than any other position. That I think that's why this is – no, I know that's why this is so significant.
So Gunner on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, he's more of an improved player rather than comeback. Hassan Reddick from Philly is more of a comeback player than Geno. I'd have to go look at Reddick's stats before. That's an interesting
one. I think the biggest thing, too, is we've seen so much that a lot of times it is an injured player coming back from, like you said, we mentioned, a Christian McCaffrey hadn't played – suffered a lot of injuries, hadn't been able to get back on the field, had a great year this year. Same with Saquon Barkley. We talked about even at the beginning of this year, could Derrick Henry potentially win it if he had a monster year? I mean, he did get second in rushing. I'm surprised he wasn't even talked about more just because of the numbers he put up and all the amount of games that he's missed last year. So I think it all comes down to, like, how do you define it? Like I said, I think Saquon should have won. I think that he fits more of the comeback player of the year. But when we're comparing it to the Ryan Tannehill situation, when he won it from, you know, Miami and then got traded to the Titans, got it in 2019, he was compared to a lot of other players who were coming off injured seasons, like Jimmy Garoppolo, who was second, Dalvin Cook, and Darren Waller. So, I mean...
Waller. Not Morgan Wallen's cousin, Darren.
I mixed in my head Darren McFarlane, Morgan Wallen.
They're all there together. Unnamed texture. By its own definition, Geno Smith did none of the following criteria for NFL Comeback Player of the Year: not being in the NFL for the previous year, severe injury, or simply poor performance.
Poor performance.
No, there was no performance.
He played in 4 games last year. What do you mean there was no performance?
He came in as a backup.
So he played in 4 games.
And he did fine, but there was no poor performance.
Yes, there was. Poor performance isn't just on the field. It's also in practice. Like, you have to, like...
Michelle, he was the backup to Russell Wilson. Okay. He came in because Russ got hurt.
Okay. He still played.
And he did fine.
Okay, and he still played.
Right, I understand, but he did fine. Like, that's not poor performance. Doing fine is not poor performance.
Yeah, but it's not up to the level of earning the starting job.
Because he's a backup, and Russell was the starter.
But Pete Carroll made him the starter this year.
Because Russell was gone.
But he obviously got rid of Russell for a reason.
Oh, no.
And they made the playoffs.
Oh, no.
They made the playoffs, dude. It's not like it was a, you know, let's punt the season.
The unnamed texter also says exceeding expectations is much different than making a comeback.
Well, you want to know what? Geno Smith won the damn comeback player of the year.
And I disagree with it.
But I just don't understand how you, and I don't think he should have won it this year. I think Saquon should have. I'm making the argument because you think that it's different than the Ryan Tannehill situation, which we keep getting off of. Why should have Ryan Tannehill won it and it shouldn't have been Jimmy or something that year?
Elliot says, it sounds like Chase has a bigger problem with the stipulations to win the award than anything. Per the description, I guess he was deserving. Now answer my question about the best single bet to place in the Super Bowl. We'll get to that. We'll get to that at the end of the show, Elliot.
So I think, though, we can all agree that the award that he should have won was breakout or most improved player. But they don't have that category, so he won comeback player of the year. Is that fair?
I'll give you that.
Is that fair?
I'll give you that. So Ricky just sent me this tweet from Jonathan Jones. Geno Smith won comeback player of the year, as he should have. Don't forget, Drew Brees won it 2 decades ago for being good after being bad. It's not just a return from injury award.
Thanks, Rick.
I look at that a little different. Nick, you have not weighed in on this. What do you think?
Look, I really think he's not a comeback player of the year, strictly based on what Michelle said at the very beginning, is, look, he wasn't even someone that came back from an injury or anything. He's been playing for years and years and years. He's coming back from being straight up dog poop. And that is something that I am not okay with. I don't think he just deserves the award because of how well he played this year. There are plenty of guys that get hurt every single year that probably carry their team better than a guy like Geno Smith. Now, in my opinion...
That's a bold statement.
I don't know. I think, personally, you could give this one to Saquon. Saquon had one hell of a year. He carried that team this year. They are what they are because of Saquon Barkley. And I think next year, you could even make the case for a few of these guys from this year because they might go off next year. But, I don't know. That doesn't meet my criteria for a comeback player of the year. He was not hurt. He just came back from being bad. What situation was he in last year where he was at a clear disadvantage other than having a better guy in front of him? That's my case.
Yeah, I don't even know if he really came back from being bad in the last few years. He's just been a backup.
He came
in last year when Russell got hurt, and I thought he was fine.
Exactly.
That's not poor performance.
No, it's not. And we clearly heard in that clip, too, that I played that he liked how he played in several games this year. They knew what they had out of Geno Smith the entire time. And I think that coaching made the biggest difference this year.
Yeah.
I think, too, to throw into this argument is the way people view quarterbacks, right? And for him to do what he did at the quarterback position, never being a starter before, and the way, you know, we view quarterbacks, and they're the only ones usually to get the MVP. It's clearly the hardest. Listen, I'm not knocking any other position in the NFL, but quarterback is the hardest position to play. And I think that also plays a role into this, that he was able to, you know, do this with the team we looked at the beginning of the year who we thought were punting their season? Why are you laughing? Dan from Clifton
Park. I'm laughing because there are several group texts that this has gone into now.
Oh, gosh.
That we're getting other people's opinion. Look, fun debate. We can agree to disagree, and that's fine. Enjoy the participation on this.
Can I read one more text before we go to break? Just to get a little laugh out of everybody. This is Elliot. Elliot has been on fire on the text line today. Can Aaron Rodgers win the award next year since he's coming back from the nature walkabout in the darkness or whatever the heck? Yes, he can.
All right. Coming up next, there was an interesting comment on Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill from Radio Row yesterday. We'll get into that and also the Super Bowl in hour number two of Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.